The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. As we began to see yesterday, when all else fails, the enemies of the kingdom of God will sometimes resort to threatening those who are engaged in the work of the kingdom. When we paused the message, we were learning that one of the most important ways to combat threats, indeed all of the assaults of Satan, is to test it by the word of God. Nehemiah responded appropriately, rebuffing the threats by measuring them by what thus saith the Lord. Join us today as we conclude our examination of opposition through threats against the people of the kingdom of God.
I have heard.
Yeah. Notice, skip down to verse 16. The rest of those verses tell about all the great things he did and how he prospered. Verse 16 says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You know, I read about King Saul, who when he was little in his own sight, did the will of God and was blessed by God. But then he got lifted up in pride and ended up dying by suicide on the battlefield in direct contradiction of the will of God for his life. But this man is the same way. When his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Well, that doesn't seem like a big deal. He's the king after all. Surely he could go and do that. But remember what we read in Numbers? That was only for the priests. That was very important. There was a holiness to that area that only the priests could go into it. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, 80 priests in Azariah, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. You know, I've experienced this in the past, even not too long in the recent past, where there have been ministers, ordained elders, who have talked to other elders or another elder and tried to give them instruction, and they wouldn't heed that instruction. They wouldn't listen to that instruction. But beloved, I want to tell you, if I had 80 elders of the Primitive Baptist Church come to me, or if I only had 8, Brother Buddy, or one or two that were, especially those that were more experience than me, and say, Brother Chris, you're going down the wrong path, I hope I would listen to him and I would back off. But Uzziah didn't do that. Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. But notice what happened. You think it, so is it important? Is what Nehemiah is being tempted to do a big deal? While he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy rose up even in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense of altar. And he goes on to tell us that Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in a house apart from everybody else, all because he tried to do what Shemaiah is tempting Nehemiah to do. Says, Nehemiah, let's go into the temple and get back over there where we can hide. God will surely be okay with it. But you see, Nehemiah wasn't a priest. Nehemiah didn't have the right to go in there. Remember, he was just a layman. He was a regular person. He was a congregation member, we would say. He wasn't called into the ministry. He wasn't called into the leadership of the church. And he was not, in this day particularly, it was strict, and he was not to go in there. So Shemaiah was enticing him to commit a direct violation of the Word of God. Now, that tells us something very important. Because what Shemaiah was tempting him to do is very tempting to do, right? I mean, you had somebody who was obviously at least acted like they knew what they were talking about. Obviously somebody he knew and probably trusted to some extent. But we don't know all the extent of that. But let me tell you, child of God, even if someone comes to you who you trust implicitly and they entice you to commit a violation of God's word, you reject it. And see, that's why it's so important for us to be in God's Word. That's why it's so important for us to study God's Word. You need to hold my feet to the fire, so to speak. Hold me to the standard of the Word of God. Because you see, there's a clear description in the Word in Deuteronomy chapter 13 of how to tell whether what I'm preaching to you is true or not. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee. Now notice what's happening here. This is somebody who's being a prophet, and their prophecy is coming true. He says, you know, something to the effect, for example, of, if I'm telling you the truth, then the sun is going to eclipse in 30 minutes. And it happens. That's kind of the thing we're talking about here. You know, if I'm if I am telling you the truth, then lightning is going to hit this tree over here in the field right now. And it happens. Okay, that's pretty compelling, right? If I could call down fire from on high, or I could call down lightning and say, this is, you know, by the authority of me being able to call down lightning upon this field, you should trust my words, okay? And that'd be a pretty compelling argument if I could do that, right? But notice what he's telling them. He says, even if the sign or wonder comes to pass whereof he spake thee, here's the message saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. In other words, this is a man who is telling the people, God really doesn't know what he's talking about. I know the word of God says this, but I'm telling you that I have a new word from God that says to do that. Instead of serving Jehovah God, you need to come serve these other gods. You know, even if he can call down fire from heaven, if he can call down lightning from the clouds, he says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you or tests you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Isaiah probably states it the best I've ever heard it. Isaiah 8 and verse 20, one of my favorite verses. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. In other words, if anything I preach to you goes contrary to the word of God, as compelling as it may sound, as eloquent as I may be, as true as it may appear to be, maybe I can even cause someone, you know, a lot of these people try to heal people, you know, and they say, well, because I can heal people, because I can speak in tongues, you ought to believe everything I say. They believe you can get a word of knowledge from God today. Beloved, don't believe them. I don't care what the sign is. You know, Paul puts it pretty plainly, doesn't he, over in Galatians? He said, if I or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel than that which I preach unto you, let him be accursed. That means if an angel, you know, it'd be something. It'd be amazing if I could say in 2 seconds, a big meteor is going to crash right in here into the center of this building. And because I can call that down, that proves that I'm telling you the truth. That'd be pretty impressive, right? Something more impressive is if a big light started shining behind me and the air opened up and a creature that is in garbed in all kinds of amazing robes and shining forth like some kind of God, an angel himself steps into the room and says, I want to tell you about a new gospel. That'd be even more impressive than anything I could do. God said, don't you believe it. You know why? Because I've told you the truth. I've told you the truth. And you measure what anybody else says by my truth. You want to know how you can ferret out whether somebody's telling you the truth or lying to you? Measure it by the word of God. Measure it by the word of God. That's what Nehemiah did. And he responded appropriately. Verse 11. I said, should such a man as I flee? Kind of reminds us of 2 Timothy 1:7, where he says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of boldness and of a sound mind, of love, power and love and of a sound mind. Beloved, I know we're nothing and less than nothing in our flesh. We are. But that's not all we are. If you're a child of God, that's not all you are. You've got that nature in you, but you are something special in the sight of God. And especially if you're a member of one of God's churches, you're not just any old person out there. You're not just that old man. You're not just that worm of the dust. God, yes, you are by nature, and you didn't do anything to make yourself different, but God made you different. And he places great value upon you. And as a matter of fact, every member of the church is called a lively stone, a living stone. He has placed us in the church. He has placed us in his service. And should such a man as I flee? You're a member of this church here. You're a member of one of God's visible churches. You're a part of the visible aspect of the kingdom of God. Should such a one as you flee? Should we run scared every time somebody threatens us? Should we leave the work of building the walls or rebuilding the walls of the kingdom? But just because somebody scares us a little bit? Should such a one as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? Are you the kind, should you go violate God's law when you're trying to serve him here in the kingdom? Should you leave this great work and come down? Should you then go into the temple where you don't have any business being? I will not go in. That's what Nehemiah said. Now, he's not being lifted up in pride. You see, Nehemiah knows. He knows what kind of person he is by nature. He knows the truth of God's word. He knows he needs a Savior. He knows he has such a Savior in Jehovah God. But he also knows he's a child of God. He's a child of the King. I'm not much by nature. In fact, I'm nothing. But in my spiritual nature, because God has given me that nature, I am a child of the King. I am an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Should such a man as I flee? Running away was not an option. Running away was not what he should do. See, there's a very real sense in which Nehemiah was serving in a leadership role as an under-shepherd. Jesus said over in John chapter 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, listen to this, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. You know, I make no pretense of this, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. Brother Buddy, I think, would agree with me. I'm not making any kind of pretense of being Christ or like Christ. I try and strive to be like Christ, and you and I, we all do. We fall short, and there's no way I, as your pastor, am in any way like Christ, the great shepherd. But I am the under-shepherd here. And he tells us in Acts 20 and verse 28 to take heed unto thyself and to the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made thee overseer. You know, what I'm doing here tonight is not just because y'all elected me to be pastor. I'm not elected. I'm not hired to be pastor. I appreciate all the material blessings that you give to me. I appreciate the fact that you support me. I appreciate the fact that you call me here as your pastor and that you continue to put up with me. Sometimes I wonder how you do that, and I'm thankful for the fact that you do. But beloved, I am not an hireling. If you came to me and said, Brother Chris, we'll pay you more money if you'll preach something that we like a little bit better, that's not really necessarily consistent with the Word of God, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't, because I'm, you know, an hireling, you know, if I see the danger coming, and I know that by preaching the danger, that the danger's coming, it's probably gonna diminish my pay or diminish my ability to come in and out before you here, then if I'm a hireling and I'm worried about that, then I'm just gonna back off and see the wolf coming, but not say anything and just kind of flee in a figurative sense from the pulpit and not preach about it. But I'm not gonna do that. If I'm truly called of God to be a pastor, and it's particularly called of God to be your pastor, being made your overseer by the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to do that. If I'm a hireling, I will, but I'm not going to do that if I'm really called of God and placed here. Now, I'm not talking about, Jesus is talking about himself being the great shepherd, and that he is above all, and he certainly is. I still can get it wrong. I can still miss it. I can mess it up, okay? But if I'm truly called of God and striving to do what he has called me to do, then I'm not going to be a hireling and run away. And that's what Nehemiah is doing here. He said, I'm not running away. Should such a man as I flee? Nehemiah was a true shepherd, under shepherd, if you will, and not a hireling. And you know, sometimes that can be scary. And I'm not just talking about for preachers now. I'm talking about for all of us. Because there's, remember, Nehemiah wasn't a preacher. You've got a work to do that God has given you to do. You have a circle of influence where you affect people, okay? And it's tempting to compromise. It's tempting to avoid the slander and worry about what people are going to say about you. It's tempting to be moved by fear to not do what God has told us in His Word that we should do. It's tempting. But you know, in the case of fear, I've heard it said this before, that the hero and the coward feel the same fear. They just react differently. I'm sure Nehemiah was afraid. Listen, there have been many times in my life when I've been afraid. Sometimes I have been the coward, but I've tried to be the hero. I've tried to react differently than I would in just acting in fear. And you see, think about this too. One final point, and then we'll close this up. If he had reacted in fear, first of all, he would have violated God's law. And that's a no-no. That's bad enough, okay? But second of all, if he had run away and hidden in the temple, think about what that would have done to his reputation as a warrior for the kingdom of God. Well, here's old Nehemiah. Man, he's withstood all these other assaults, but we knew we'd finally get him. Or some other little child of God out there who's working on the wall. And looking to Nehemiah as an example who steadfastly kept to the work of the kingdom, kept working on the wall, resisted all of these attacks, and now suddenly he falls. There's no telling what effect that might have on that little one out there. Just kind of say, you know, I just thought he was different, but he fell too, and I'm just going to run away myself. As we see in verse 14, as we close out, Nehemiah resorts back to the one place he's been the whole time, which is on his knees in prayer. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. There was a conspiracy against Nehemiah among the prophets, including this prophetess named Noadiah. What pressure that would have been upon Nehemiah, because the Jews had great respect for their prophets, right? Here we find Nehemiah looks to be outnumbered, and yet he stood his ground. In Psalm chapter 3 and verse 5, the psalmist writes, I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. One with the Lord is a majority. That old prophet sitting out on the hillside, Elisha, the Syrian army came and circled his hillside over there. And his little servant boy walked out that morning and said, oh no, we're in trouble. Oh, these thousands upon thousands of chariots that are and warriors and spears and swords out there that are against us. My master, what are we going to do? And the master didn't say, oh my goodness, let's go compromise. Let's go run away. Let's dig a hole and climb in it. He just knelt down on his knees and said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. You know what the next words out of that little servant's mouth was as he saw the flaming chariots of fire between him and circling around that hillside between him and the prophet and that big, great Assyrian, that great Syrian army there. He said, Master, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And you know the rest of that story. So I love the rest of that story. He goes out there among all those great warriors, and they're struck with some kind of blindness, and he leads them away right into the camp of their enemy. What a great God we serve. What a great God who is able to deliver us from the hand of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against us round about. And look at verse 15 as we close. So the wall was finished. The wall was finished. The work of rebuilding the wall was finished. Right at the finish line, the enemy mounted his greatest assault, it seems like, and tried to keep them from getting right on across into the place where God had told them to go and been rebuilding that wall and resetting those gates. And this man, Nehemiah, who was not a preacher or a priest or a prophet, but just a regular member of the kingdom of God, he stood against them, and the wall was finished under his leadership. This layman who was opposed by all these professionals, and yet he refused to give up and to give in. Praise God for the fact that God will be with us when we try to serve him in the way that he would have us serve him.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.